No, I'm addressing the idea of our Iranianness. I'm not addressing it as a limited point of view, but I'm addressing it as a very ancient culture that has contributed so much to the formation of world thought that we now, in fact, lose sight of how much contribution the country has made to world views. And still, I would imagine, it has to contribute to world views. Forgetting politics, forgetting the transitory nature that 15 years ago we were held in highest of esteem, and then 8 years ago we were held in the lowest of esteem, forgetting all these vacillations, but looking with certain equanimity to the overall long-range contribution of Persian culture, I really think that we owe it to ourselves and the world to maintain a conscious verbal, visual, audio remembrance of what it is that we offer to the world, with no sense of great prejudice at all, but as a memory of world culture. And I think that this memory of world culture has a lot to do with our architecture and our arts. If we can just preserve the architectural traditions that we have and the arts that we have, I'm sure that we're going to be able to once again make a very, very important contribution to world culture. And that's what drives me. When I came to teach at Harvard in 1977, when I sensed a need to now emphasize my academic dimensions, and that's why I came away from Iran.
When you left Iran?
I left Iran in 1977. And I established, you know, a branch of my firm here, of course going back and forth to Iran almost every 2 months, carrying out a lot of my work. But I came here with the intention that if one was going to make a impression on this idea of integration of tradition and contemporary life, or tradition and technology, one had to also do it at the root source of some of this work. And so Harvard and MIT and Boston and this area are such a seedbed of the growth of world thought, of academic thought. And so if one can also present in these environments our cultural views and legitimize them and dignify them with the stature that they deserve, that's also a contribution. And that's another reason why I go back to this this issue that I addressed. I really believe that we're going to go through an entire other phase. It's an awakening that all of us are sensing. You know, there's a new consciousness. This new consciousness has to do with an enormous amount of understanding and sharing about all the great world cultures. We now know so much more about, you know, the indigenous Indian cultures of America and the Hopi and their rites and their rituals, as well as the Aborigine, as well as this, as well as that. And what are we going to do with this new awakening? Because all of these new awakenings and these new educational tools about these ancient traditions are teaching us that there are these hidden messages, these symbolic dimensions, these transcendent dimensions within an outer world that we live, which is highly material, highly what you may call deterministic, highly measurable, as Kant would say, and yet the unmeasurable exists. The Zahir and the Batin both are complementary. So this fusion of the inner and the outer, I believe, is a new quest that is going to happen. It's part of our contribution. Now you may say, what does this have to do with the oral history of Iran? Well, I think the oral history of Iran goes on. And my challenge to the Iranian is, what do we do next not what did we do. That has been done. Whatever you did is for the record. What now remains for us to do? What have been our messages and our lessons about our relationship to the environment? What have been our ways of integrating the transcendent within social change? If we can answer those, I believe that we're going to be making again a new contribution in this new Gaia consciousness that exists in the world. And that's, I guess, you know, my next next mountain to climb.
Hi, Alan, thank you so much. I would love to go on and ask you more questions.
Please don't.
Thank you very much.